Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Dean Kaneshiro has been involved in media and ministry for over 15 years. He has a heart for families, parents, and young people. He and his wife, Holly, have five kids, teens, tweens, and twins. He oversees a home church called The Living Room. And it's in the living room, as it were, of The Good Life Radio Show that we welcome you and invite you and pause even for a moment just to remind you the reason we have The Good Life Radio Show is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you, dear friend, to know the one who loves you so much. No matter what you're facing, what you're going through, he loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, and the living Christ who has touched Dean Kaneshiro, is the living Christ who calls you to himself today. Would you come to him? Would you open your heart to receive Christ, if you haven't yet done so, as your personal Savior and Lord? That's our hope. That's our desire. You know, Pastor Dean's been blogging and releasing video blogs on empowering discipline strategies over at theparenthoodblog.com. He also owns his own video production company, Earth Suit Media. He's working on his first documentary film. You're going to hear about that. He loves 80s pop hits, dance parties, and kalbi Korean plate lunch. Local boy favorite. Pastor Dean, yeah. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you talk about kalbi Korean plate lunch.
Yeah, bro, I was just getting hungry. Just when you talked about it, I was like, shucks, I got to eat after this.
Well, imagine how I feel saying that here in Boston.
Oh, my goodness, and, I can't.
Envious of you there in Hawaii. Where did you grow up, Dean?
Yeah, I was born and raised here on Oahu. Just super blessed, you know, to have that life. And obviously fell in love with the food. But I did live on the mainland. I married my wife. Actually, she's a New Zealander. So we lived there for 3.5 years. Then we lived on the East Coast, actually, North and South Carolina for 9 years, I think. So we've been back only for 5, and so I understand what it's like to miss plate lunch.
Mm-hmm. makes you want it even more, huh?
Yeah, I'm so thankful that we're home, though, I tell you what.
So how did you meet Holly from New Zealand?
Yeah, we met at YWAM, which is Youth for a Mission. Yeah, so it's a missionary training school, mm-hmm, that many people know about. And I had actually dropped out of UCLA, got very sick, actually, with anxiety attacks. Had never really understood what was happening or what that was, but had to drop out of school. I was actually in UCLA in the mid-90s to do film. That was always something in my heart. But after I met the Lord as a 17, 18-year-old, you know, I was just getting to know him and what that meant, but I just kind of kept on going forward with what was in my heart to do, which was film and production. But the Lord really had to deal with some inner issues, some inner things and fears and that kind of thing. And it just started to manifest like that. I dropped out and he really began to fill me with his Spirit in fresh ways, renew my mind, my thinking. I ended up reading the Bible completely for the first time in my life through and through. And then I just decided to do Youth with a Mission school in England. And that's where I met my wife.
Mm. What was that journey like? Going through period, I would imagine, did you have some periods of self-doubt there while you were at UCLA?
Sure. Yeah. I thought, you know, hey, if you become a Christian, everything should go perfect, you know, in your life. But for me, it was the opposite. Like everything emotionally just started to go out of control. I didn't know what anxiety attacks were. And it just started to manifest in a way that did bring up a lot of doubts. But I didn't really doubt the Lord. I think, I'd made a choice to really walk with Him. And so thank God I just decided to go deeper and get closer. And it really was, I think, during my time in England on a farm, kind of like a manor, which is where we were doing this training. Just lots of tears, just lots of difficulties that I was going through, lots of fears. But when I was reading about Paul, when he was in jail, he was physically in jail, chained. And he said, I think to the Philippian church, he said, hey, rejoice in everything. Again, I'm telling you, rejoice always. And it just occurred to me, shucks, man, this guy must know something that I don't know, because my life has always been, hey, if circumstances are good, then you're happy. And this guy's circumstances weren't, and yet he still had an inner joy. And I said, Lord, I want that. And kind of that triggered something that I think began to deliver me and set me free from a circumstantially based life of peace and joy to more of an inner kingdom, unshakable kingdom life of inner peace and joy. And of course, like everybody, we're still going through things, but that was a humongous shift. And he was able to do a ton in my life ever since then. That was the mid-90s.
A significant decade of your life. Who influenced you most, either growing up? Well, maybe let's do that. Growing up, and then in your early years as a believer.
Yeah. My biggest influences. I had great parents. Both my parents were wonderful. They're now all, walking with the Lord. We weren't really a Christian family at all. So, they raised me just so well. And I think I looked up to both my parents in many ways. I have one older brother who was also a role model for me. Outside of that, there were just a lot of media people, Michael Jackson and George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. I was a Peter Pan fan and, just a lot of sci-fi and fantasy stuff. And so, it sounds strange, but I think Michael Jackson had a great influence on me. And I think he kind of, not only was he talented and gifted, but in a performer, which I have in my heart, but he had a spiritual sort of side. Even before I met the Lord, I think that drew me. There was something in my heart, and we know that we're all created actually with a void there, something that's hungry for the supernatural and the spiritual. But he really awakened that in me, and I think movies did that for me and a lot of the fantasy stuff, sci-fi films, that kind of thing awakened that. But he was a huge influence. After I became a Christian, there was a retired army, soldier, broken-nosed Kiwi, New Zealander guy who was a home group leader of mine, real just quiet, and he just discipled me and really radically influenced my life. So I'd say that he probably, as far as my Christian life, has put more inside of me and built me up more than anything else.
How so? What did he say? What did he do?
Yeah, well, it was kind of during a time, let's see, this is probably late. I got married in 1998, and it was just kind of during that time that I was beginning to build a foundation, a spiritual foundation, and he taught me from the Word of God, but he also had a supernatural relationship with the Lord and a kind of a prophetic, just heard from the Lord in such a crazy way and moved in, supernatural life, and I'd never seen anybody with both of those, such a depth in the Word as well as an accuracy and a real life in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think those two things combined, but I'll tell you what he taught me the most. He taught me how to use the Word of God to renew my mind, which then is the thing that really built this foundation and this relationship with the Lord so that I could walk in peace. Mm-hmm. And, taking scripture and just walking and just meditating on that, just speaking it over your life, because I had so much of my mind that needed to change. And he taught me that. And he showed me how to do that. And so I really attribute going from, like a -6 kind of emotionally to zero and then to build on top of that. Mm. And I walk on that every single day. And I teach people that. And I try to train my children in that and encourage people. So he is going to get tons and tons. Whatever I do, on earth, I think he's going to get credit for it in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were at UCLA. You talk about being inspired by movies, sci-fi, entertainment.
Mm.
There's a documentary that you've directed.
Yes.
Called The Rise of the Wahine. I want to play a clip of that when we come back from our break, but give us a quick snapshot of how you got the idea to do it.
Sure. Right after I came back to Hawaii about 5 years ago, I was helping a friend do an interview with some of the Wahine, the Rainbow Wahine volleyball team, and former Wahine as well. And one of them is Beth McLaughlin, who was the first team captain on the Wahine back in the 70s when the program started, early 70s. And she just began to tell stories about inequality and struggles of the women back in those times, just generally across the nation. But here in Hawaii, getting the program started, she introduced me to Dr. Donis Thompson, that name, Pat Saiki, Title IX. I had never heard of any of this. I mean, I have to confess, I'd never heard of Title IX even just a handful of years ago. And she's crying as she's telling these stories. And I was so gripped. And I just said, you know what? I need to learn more about this. And that set me on the journey.
We want to get at least a little taste of it, and then let's talk about, let's go deeper. You know, what was it like in the process of doing it? What did you discover? What moved you?
Of course.
We're talking to Dean Kaneshiro. He's the director of the documentary film, The Rise of the Wahine. He's also the pastor of a home church called The Living Room. And as you can tell, he speaks in a very warm way that makes you sort of feel like you're in his living room and we're having this heart-to-heart conversation. I'm glad that you're a part of it, dear one. When we come back from our break, more from Dean Kaneshiro. Dean, you inspire me because you go places, you do things that others would shudder even to think about.
Sure.
But you do it. You go. And we need more people like you to inspire us so that we can live the fullness of what God has for us. Again, dear one, the Good Life Radio Show, Pastor Dean Kaneshiro in studio with us. You can find out more about him at theparenthoodblog.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, you hear about the Rainbow Wahine volleyball team, the living legend coach Dave Shoji, But there's a backstory to all of this, and it's been highlighted in a documentary film, The Rise of the Wahine, directed by Dean Kaneshiro. Dean is in studio with us today. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii radio show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and I'm so glad you're with us. Thank you for joining us. You can find out more about our program. You can get this program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. I encourage you, share it with a family member or a friend. And to get in touch and stay in touch, find out more about Dean Kaneshiro, theparenthoodblog.com. Dean, let's let our listeners hear the promotional clip,
sure,
the trailer, and then we'll come back and talk about that.
Great. You know, I think what blows my mind is that I grew up in Hawaii, and this incredible story took place right here in my own backyard. I had no idea.
It's over! Suzanne Aggie ends it! Hawaii has won a national title!
So we can look at the Wahine volleyball program today. I mean, these girls are like rock stars here, you know, but if you rewind the clock in this country, let's say in the 60s, in the 1970s, educational and athletic opportunities for women, I mean, it was nowhere near what it's like today.
The percentage of United States law school graduates that were women was only 7%. For medical school, it was only 9%.
The country had to pay attention to gender equity as well as race equity.
So women like Patsy Mink, right, Dr. Donis Thompson, minority women here in Hawaii, they were a part of this group of women, literally rocked the nation, turned everything upside down.
Athletics has just changed the landscape for girls and women in this country. Title IX played the biggest part in that.
And we felt like people starting a brand new era. Title IX was like, wow, a whole new world.
The Hawaii volleyball team started out as a bunch of scrappy, undersized players that just knew how to play volleyball.
Donis Thompson was an African-American woman born into a situation of incredible oppression.
So she was really a pioneer in wanting to take her Title IX money and pour it right into women's volleyball ASAP.
Well, we got a lot of pushback from the men. They felt that the funds were going to be diluted.
At the University of Hawaii in the early 70s, yeah, it was a bit of a, are you kidding me? We're struggling for our own stuff. And you want what from where, you know?
I remember thinking, wow, how come they have so much more than we do?
Media wouldn't give us the time of day. They didn't even come to see what we had to offer. It was just, I'm not going to go watch girls.
Arriving on campus and seeing an African-American woman in power was a surprise.
It was because of Patsy's experiences of being denied, not even near equal, told she could not go to medical school.
If there was a fighter, that was Patsy Mink on the floor of Congress to get Title IX passed.
They have the opportunity to impute within people very deep, profound values of justice because they know what it is to not have.
I could no longer help and tolerate sexism that was so prevalent at that particular time.
What Donna saw and what was possible, most people couldn't. And she drove to make that happen and played a very vital role. That's why she deserves, Patsy Mink deserves, these women of Hawaii, the small state, had a vision that would change the landscape of women's sports in America forever.
Wow, I'm inspired, bro.
Well, I am too.
That's amazing too. Sounding.
Well, now we heard some familiar voices, but mention some of the names that were a part of the trip.
Sure. Yeah. So I started off there just because we were making this trailer to raise some money. Dave Shoji, Coach Dave Shoji's in there. Beth McLaughlin is featured in there. We do hear a recording of Patsy Mink that was taken probably 15, 20 years ago. Dr. Donis Thompson speaks in there. And then others, you know, who we were able to interview. Marilyn Moniz, Kaho'ohano Hano. Yeah, so just a lot of folks who are part of the film, and we just have a cast of even more. Chris McLaughlin, I think, was a part of that as well. Right. Sorry, I'm just trying to think in my head. But, yeah, I mean, I edited that, and I've seen it visually, but I've never just actually just listened to it. And it's very, really inspiring just to hear it, actually.
It is. It's very powerful. I heard Pat Saiki's voice also there. And now, again, you talked about it's a story that you didn't know about, you know, having even grown up here. Mm-hmm. What as you've gone through the process, Dean, what has captivated you most? I mean, to keep you through from start to finish.
Right. Because it's been about 4 years, maybe coming up to five, I don't know, since I first heard it. And I heard someone say once, you know, both for fictional as well as for documentary-style films, someone said, you know, if you're not so jazzed about a story that you're not willing to give 7 years of your life to it, then you shouldn't really start. And that kind of kept going through my mind. I never thought it would be this long, honestly. But I'll tell you, when Beth was talking, going back to the story about when I first was interviewing her, actually a friend was, and I was just running the audio, and she started crying and talking about these overcoming struggles that women were having and having to fight for every dollar that the women could. And then there are even more amazing, really Hollywood style level, stories that come from this that happened right here in Hawaii as this volleyball team was being established. But overcoming gender inequality, et cetera. I'll tell you, the first thing that touched my heart was while she was speaking, this thought came into my mind. And it was, you know, Dean, you really don't have any idea what it's like to be a woman and to go through that kind of inequality, to be told that because of a passive characteristic that you have, you know, like race or gender, you can't do something. You're excluded. You can't be a part of. And but more than that, I think the conviction, I think from the Lord, really, hey, do we as men value women? Not just, hey, will we vote for one for president, or will we share our gymnasium with a female team or a woman? But really the issue is, do we value? Is there a true equal value that both of us are created in the image of God that was stolen from us at the fall in the garden? It was never intended to be one over the other. And we're both a demonstration and an expression of the glory of God. But anyway, that conviction kind of hit me, and it sent me on this journey. And then, of course, these amazing, inspiring, overcoming stories along the way. And I think the Lord did give the story to me in that sense that I just asked that question, why has no one ever seen it from a Hawaii perspective? Donis Thompson, the first African-American woman, really the first female athletic director at UH. She's from Chicago originally, all the discrimination stuff she had to endure and overcome. Patsy Mink, her story is just incredible on its own, just overcoming the things she did just to get to where she was. And then the role that she played in Title IX, both creating it as well as sustaining it. And I don't think anybody really from Hawaii knows that, much less the nation. And then the team themselves, that first team in the early 70s and what they did to fight. And then, of course, Dave coming on board and what he did. So I just was able to, I think, see the bigger picture. And it really just thrills me to know that we'll be able to share this very soon with the world.
What is your hope? You know, there's got to be an underlying purpose, some impetus for why you've done it. What do you hope that it will accomplish?
Sure. Well, I think two things. I think the very first line of our film, which also is something that touched my heart, the very first line is our narrator, who's a friend of mine, Sarah Wayne Callies. She's a Punahou grad, 95, and she's an actress in Hollywood, and she is intimate with the story, loves the story, and she narrated the film. And she says, what does it take to change the world around you? And so, even for those that don't identify with sports, volleyball, even women's issues in that sense, which I didn't before I started the film, what you learn in the film and what you see of these women and men sacrificing and putting everything on the line and risking it all to change perception and to change the world around them is one of the driving themes that I think anybody can relate to, whatever it is that they're dealing with in their life. And so I want to inspire people with that message. And then I think secondly, as a believer, when it comes to culture, you know, and I have a daughter, and she's actually sitting next to me here in the studio. She's 10 years old. So not just the content of the film, but I think for believers everywhere, we've pulled out of culture and we've allowed others to tell the stories that God has in his heart, or to not tell those stories. You know, there's been a void of God's stories, I think. And I don't mean just Christian stories or Christian film. I'm just talking about inspirational, transformative stories. And so in many ways, the film was an experiment for me to really grab a hold of something that I think is on the Lord's heart and to really get out there and do something with as much excellence as I can. Mm-hmm. And to really re-engage culture. And I heard someone once say, if you don't like the culture around you, then make some better culture. You know, make something new. Don't just point fingers like we have in the church and just go, this sucks and this is horrible and this is so dark. Bro, get in there and make something better. Make better music, make better entertainment, lead better, you know, get involved and educate better. And so that's what I hope is a secondary goal of mine, to inspire Christians as well.
It won the Audience Award at the Hawaii International Film Festival. If someone wants to go and actually see what they heard, where would they go?
Yeah, please visit riseofthewahine.com, R-I-S-E. Of the Wahine is W-A-H-I-N-E.com. Mm-hmm. So riseofthewahine.com. And if they can sign up as well for the newsletter, that will keep them in touch with news on when this thing is going to come out, how they can see it locally as well as hopefully nationally and digitally when that all happens. But they can see trailers, and then I have another little video that's on there. They can stay up to date on social media as well. So that's probably the best place for them to go, riseofthewahine.com.
Well, 1972 was a key year. You mentioned early on, you love the 80s, pop music of the 80s.
I do.
What songs? What kind of music?
Oh, come on now. Yeah, well, so Michael Jackson, of course, was a big influence, like I mentioned. But holy smoke, you know, just the pop stuff, like, Chaka Khan was the breakdancing stuff that we used to listen to. Footloose, you know, Kenny Loggins. What else do I listen to, Sophie? I'm just blanking now suddenly.
Oh boy.
I just listen to like a Pandora. I'll just play it. You know, Debbie Gibson and Madonna.
I'm just smiling and, you know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Sort of laughing because, you know, that question was so loaded because I just want to hear someone talk about it, you know.
Yeah, and then it kind of morphed into, you know, Bobby Brown and Paula Abdul in the 90s. And, you know, I'm a boy band guy too. I think everybody really is. They deny it and they make fun of Justin Bieber. But I think deep inside, everybody has a boy band kind of DNA in them. They just love to feel good. And I love that. That's what I loved about the 80s, is that we sang about dancing on the ceiling with Lionel Richie and celebration in the street. You know what I'm saying? It was a little bit, I mean, maybe people think it was fake, you know, because people are hurting inside. And Nirvana showed us that, you know, in the 90s. But in the 80s, it was fun, and I think people enjoy dancing to the 80s music today because it does speak about just the fun and family and celebration. So I dance with my family, and I make my kids listen to it in the car. And I say, who's singing this? Who's this? This is Phil Collins. You guys need to know that, you know.
Music has a transferable quality to it. My daughter listens to music in the 80s.
Come on now.
That there's a way of connecting.
Yeah.
But when you talk about connecting, when we talk about connecting, particularly to families, particularly to young people, that's something that's pretty heavy on your heart.
It is, yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I think, you know, we have five kids, as I think maybe you had mentioned. I've got a teen and a tween, two 10-year-olds now. I guess they're tweens actually now, and then a 6-year-old. And when I started, you know, I was raised here, and you understand Asian style, which is kind of, you know, the way you discipline your children and kind of fear-based. And so you just do what your parents, you know, how they raised you. And that's kind of what I was doing in the early 2000s. We had our first child, our son. But my wife from New Zealand, raised in a Christian family, a wonderful family, she just had a more empowering kind of a viewpoint. She had a lot more grace. You know, I think kind of the samurai kind of Asian style is, you know, if I say no, I can never change that, you know. You have to do what I say, and if I shift, or if I let you off the hook for whatever reason, then it's weakness, you know, and that kind of a thing. And And I think one day she was kind of saying, hey, you know, he's like two and he's like tired. And I'm going, no, you have to put your shoes before you go in the house, take them off. And she just was showing me, hey, you know, there's a grace-filled way to do this. And I think from that moment, I kind of, something triggered in my heart. I said, you know, I want to learn how to be the best father that I can and really empower my children. And, you know, honestly, the father, you know, God, our father is one that I've, is someone in that sense that I've really, who's really mentored me, I think, in many ways in what it means to be a father. And so it's been a journey of many, many years, you know, 15 years, 13, 14, 15 years of learning how to equip and empower children and of course, parents as well, how to discipline and raise their children.
Well, let's come back to that. You talk about grace with kids. Mm. There obviously in parenting needs to be grace for the parent and grace for the family.
Yeah.
You are embodying that. You are teaching others about that. You write about that in your blog, theparenthoodblog.com. When we come back, let's go deeper. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about some issues.
Yeah.
Some issues that you face, some issues that others face, or how you helped people, young people, work through those difficulties. If it's done in a singular form, well, we can say it relates to us in a plural form. We can all connect and relate. It's something that you, Dean Kaneshiro, have to say, and when we come back, I'd like for you to share it. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Dean Kaneshiro.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
When I hear the word grace, especially when it comes to parenting, when it comes to just living life, it gives me a sense of relief. It's like a decompression. It's like letting the air out, and that whole sense of pressure is relieved. And when I hear Dean Kaneshiro speak about grace as a parent, grace in the way he's related with his kids, and the way he teaches others, it brings peace and inspiration to me. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. This is The Good Life. You can find out more about our program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And Pastor Dean, well, his blog, theparenthoodblog.com, theparenthoodblog.com. So, Dean, what's prevalent? What do you notice comes up again and again when you're working, ministering to parents, with parents?
Well, I guess I'd just say that the paradigm in which we parent would probably be really the most important thing for parents, grandparents, you know, and caregivers to really think about and look at. And that's really what I'm trying to develop to help people teach, to really look at. There's different ways that people operate, drill sergeant style, real super hands-off, like we're homies, we're friends with our kids. The helicopter parenting, that's the most prevalent today, right? Mm-hmm. They swoop in and save their kids and calling the teachers and coming to this soccer field, whatever. Like, what are you doing to my child? And then, you know, next thing you know, they're 20 and they're going, you didn't hire my son. And, you know, and it's just like parent, like a helicopter. And then there's another kind of a style that I call choice empowerment. And so that's a style that is, it's grace-filled, but it's I think... bringing the best of both, a firm, loving way of parenting, because we know we can't just let our kids do anything, and then balancing that out with acceptance and unconditional love, you know, and bringing those two streams kind of together. And so that creates, I believe, an empowering way of making choices for our kids. And I really try to teach parents to look at their kids as little choice makers. And that's what we're developing them until they really, you know, we release them out into the world, 17, 18, 19 years old.
What happens if they make the wrong choice, a choice that hurts them, harms them?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's wrong choices that we make. But really what I see, even as I'm pastoring and shepherding people in their 20s and their 30s, even in their 40s, what I see is actually broken choice makers is actually the biggest problem in that sense, where people have never been able to make choices for themselves. And that's where the helicopter parenting style, I think, is so detrimental, as well as even in church life. You know, if I can even say that, I work with people and talk with people who some of them have never made choices to really love the Lord from their own heart. Young people are forced to go to church or forced to do this and that. And then when they're kind of 18, 19, and they step out of their parents', you know, authoritative sort of home life, they rebel and they fall away from the Lord. And everybody's like, what? What's going on? But it's not as much that they're rejecting God, but they're rejecting the fact that they were never given the opportunity to make the choice themselves. And as I began to work with people, adults, all I did is reverse the clock and go back to my 6-year-old and my 4-year-old, you know, and my 12-year-old. I'm like, wait a minute, am I empowering them both in their faith as well as just in life to make choices for themselves? And so that's the prevalent thing, is that people's choice makers are broken or abused, and therefore they then get into wrong kinds of relationships. They tend to you know, gravitate towards people who are strong in their life, going to make choices for them or whatever. And, you know, and that stops them having a strong faith as well.
It almost sounds like in allowing them to make these choices, which you're advocating for, make the choice. It almost sounds like we want them to allow them to make even the wrong choice.
Correct.
I mean, that seems a bit extreme, but that's what it sounds like. Could you explain why?
Sure. If you can imagine in your mind a graph, I suppose, you know, and it's growing from the left side up to the right, going from zero, you know, age zero up to 18. And as that grows slowly, that slope grows to 18, that represents the freedom that our child needs to be growing in. And then the other side, or the negative space, really represents your control as a parent. And so it starts almost 100%. You know what I'm saying? An infant needs you 100%. But that control and decision-making control should be slowly and age-appropriately diminishing as your child grows in freedom and proves that they're responsible. And you give them those opportunities, from wiping up after themselves, you know, to whatever it is, cleaning their room, and them just learning the consequences. And so instead of having to yell or use fear, we allow life to discipline our children. We can cheerlead them on and say, hey, this is what's going to happen. If this is the consequences if you do this. And then we just let them choose. We empower them to make choices, even if it's wrong, but it's not going to be super harmful for them, right? Because it's happening under our cover. And then we lovingly follow up and say, okay, now you're going to have to live with the consequences here. We're going to have to remove this time, or you can't stay at your friend's house, or you can't have screen time, whatever it is. And we let them learn that way, so that, you know, and I'm always imagining them at 16 or 25, you know, we don't want them in jail. We don't want them getting a car accident, you know. And so we let them make those mistakes when it's small, on toys or sharing or, you know, whatever. And it's a slow, gradual process. And so anyway, that's kind of what I like to teach. That's what I like to talk about. And these are not concepts. I mean, I have children. I have lots of them. And so I use this on them. And if it doesn't work for me, you know, it's not going to work for anybody. So these are tried and true things that I've been working with my wife on.
As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about the choice muscles, building muscles. And in order for muscles to be, to grow, to strengthen in the workout, they have to be broken down. And in the process of the breaking down, maybe it's making, in the analogy, making the wrong choice, breaking down, and then correcting, building back up.
That's good.
That's sort of an application in my own mind as you're talking. Your kids are building their choice muscles.
That's
right. Teaching us as parents to do the same. What would you say to a parent who has not done that? They have not only been a helicopter parent, but continue to be a helicopter parent. But maybe they're not in denial about it. They know they're that. Mm-hmm. How could they change?
Yeah, well, I do tell people that it's never too late. I do believe that. And with God's grace, you know what I'm saying? He can really help. So the first thing I'd say is to sit down first with your spouse and really get on the same page with how you guys want to move forward, and get a choice empowerment paradigm, you know. And you can check out theparenthoodblog.com and our Facebook page, and there's a lot of articles and things I've written. I'm working on more stuff too, even a training program. But, you know, really, you can sit down with your children and repent is really the first thing you have to do. Is you have to apologize. I've been controlling your life. I've been treating you like a growing person who's going to become an adult, or who might even right now be a young adult if they're 13 or 14 or whatever. And be honest and repent, and then say, this is what we're going to do. I want to change and I need your help. Pray for me. You know, as a parent, I want to be better and I want to trust you and I want to empower you. And then just kind of lay things out. This is how we're going to go, you know, and kind of take it from there. But I think it's never too late. So I encourage people, anytime you think you've gone off the path of life, just go backwards, you know, find that place and then get on the path.
You're a part of a ministry, a part of a movement called Explicit Youth. You speak to parents even at that conference. How did you get involved with Explicit Youth?
Well, I was working with Michelle Okimura, who you know, and she's a pastor with her husband, Rob, here in Hawaii. And my wife and I were working with the young people there at the church. And so she had a little like I guess they, I don't know if you'd call it a purity conference, sort of a weekend. You know, there was like 10, 12 high schoolers, and she just asked, could I come and share, you know, because I had a relationship with them. And so, you know, we're talking about sexuality and pornography, and these, I'd say, are some of the hot issues right now and some of the big issues that I'm passionate about too. And, you know, it just kind of went well, and I was talking about neuroscience and, you know, a lot of these things that we're learning today about kind of soul ties, you know, that come through physical touch and the fact that sexuality is not just physical, you know, the way that Hollywood shows it, ah, it's just physical, whatever. Well, it's really not, you know, we're really bonding and connecting. And anyway, so then the next year we were going to do it again in the summer, and it just began to grow from there. And other churches began to grow, and then she had to create a new venue. And the next thing you know, like 400 or 500 kids showed up. And we were, you know, suddenly this thing had started. And then this year we were able to then do a junior high conference, a high school one, a young adults, and now the next one coming up is for parents, which actually I'm most excited about, because if parents can get equipped, then you have lasting fruit.
Mm. Well, I want to talk about lasting fruit when we come back from our break. That seems to be something that has a great deal of value, eternal value, really.
Yeah.
You know, parenting. So when we come back, let's talk about that. You can find out more about the conference, the parent conference, the youth conference, explicityouth.com. That's where you can find out more. And again, Dean Kaneshiro, he's an award-winning director. His documentary coming out, Rise of the Wahine. You can find out more at riseofthewahine.com. Dean Kaneshiro will be back to share more heart-to-heart important things with you, with me, with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my guest today, Dean Kaneshiro. Pastor Dean, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Well, I'd say that two things, really. I think his spirit and his word, you know, his promise, can't be overemphasized, you know. And I was talking about going through anxiety, seasons of that, you know, just difficulties maybe in relationships or really circumstances not working out the way that I would hope or want. And I'd say a combination of just the comforter, you know, the Spirit of God himself, and having many years building a really a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit and with God through his Spirit is vital. I'd say secondly, and really equally as important, is just knowing the Word of God, being able to have some scripture memorized that I can bring to mind when I go through difficulties. But really learning, like I mentioned earlier, learning how to renew my mind and really do what I would consider kind of classic sort of spiritual warfare, you know, using the Word of God as a weapon and as a tool to cut lies off, taking thoughts captive and making them obedient to the promises of the Lord and to Christ. And
give us an example of that.
Well, I think, you know, going through, let's say, a fearful time, you know, or having an anxiety attack of something or a panic attack, you know, and it's prevalent really across America, people dealing with these things. Well, I think when we don't, you know, have, when our minds and our emotional lives are not conformed, you know, the Bible says that, you know, the Word of God, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? And so, you know, just pacing, you know, I just go into my living room or my room and I just have to pace. Sometimes it's 2 a.m. or whatever. And I just have to, regardless of what I'm feeling, I've just had to just speak the Word of God, declare the truth of God. If he feels far away, if I feel, you know, even attacked, so to speak, from lies, from the enemy, slimed, if you would want to call it that, you know, just emotionally, and just not giving into that as the way that the world teaches us and the way that we're just conditioned to, and not give into that, but overcome that using the Word of God, the promises of God, and leaning into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I seriously wouldn't be sitting here today unless I really was equipped and learned how to do that. So that's helped me tremendously in my life.
How did you get the call to lead your own church, to pastor your own church?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to blame the Lord, you know, so to speak, in making me start our little home church. But you could say, I suppose, that because I feel called to it, and I know that quite clearly, yes. To shepherd and to equip and to teach, as Ephesians 4, you know, 11 and 12 speaks about that, the fivefold ministry in that sense. I'm really moved. I think, I don't know, you know, I think of the scripture when Jesus, it says that he saw them, you know, like they were sheep without a shepherd, or, you know, he was moved with compassion and then he healed them. And it's those kinds of dynamics that I feel sort of led me to do this, you know, and really take a kind of a risk. And, you know, me and my little leadership teams, a couple of families, you know, we're all working full time, but, we're just trying to shepherd and help and equip just a few families that we have with the best of our ability, but just doing it in a little bit of a different way, doing some real family style, family centric, lots of kids involved. You know, our living room is already kind of hitting max capacity, but really doing what we can in a relational way to walk people through emotional health. And I'll be honest with you, I think in church life, that's what I've seen the most. I've seen people slip through the cracks, not because the word's not being preached or people aren't learning things spiritually, great worship is happening. It's really in the areas of emotional health that really takes a new, I don't know, kind of a new wineskin version of the way church is. We need touch points that are more personal. We need even counseling and help. I think many people for years, they can hear, listen to even sermons, but 10 years into it, 15 years, they're still dealing with emotional dysfunction, relational issues. And so I'll be honest, that's one of my main hearts, to see people grow from the inside out and grow emotionally as well as spiritually.
Well, you certainly speak with the voice, the tenderness, the warmth of a pastor, and it's so clear that it comes from the heart of a loving shepherd. How did you get the name The Living Room?
That's a good question. We you know, we meet in living rooms, so someone just said, you know, we should just probably call it that, and so we just say, hey, we're gonna meet in the living room. But I think what you said earlier is true. It's a spirit, you know, because if, I don't know, however we multiply, whatever we do, whatever growth looks like, it doesn't matter where you meet. It could be by a river or on the beach or whatever, right? But It's the spirit of the living room that I tell you we've seen the most transformation in people's lives and in their marriages and in their family life because of that spirit, yeah? And I think sometimes it's hard. It's hard in church life to really facilitate that because of the way that we do church. And so, yeah, we're just experimenting with different things, doing things a little different, try to do a lot of generational things with families, kid-centric things, but we want to see that family spirit, which is what we are as the body of Christ, first and foremost, come through. And I think even with my film, even with the explicit conference with kids and parenting and all of these things, I think they come from that place. I think the Father heart of God, the family heart of God. And so, yeah, whatever degree that people experience that through our ministry is really the degree that God's shared his shepherding heart with us. So, yeah, we're just making mistakes and growing together for sure.
It's life on life, and this life on life that takes place in the living room, that warm atmosphere of fellowship, koinonia,
yeah,
is really something that is not being made up here in the 21st century, but it actually began in the early church, didn't it?
Yeah.
Style of church life.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they met from home to home, and they ate together. They shared their stuff with each other, and they also met in the temple, too. You know, we see that in the book of Acts. And so I don't think, yeah, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with church in that sense, but I think we do need to add some of those other elements. And you know, home group is great, too. I'll tell you right now, the fruit that I see the most, and if you think of your own life, and mine for sure, and I mentioned this gentleman who's helped me in my life, sometimes it's really one-on-one. Wow. Or one with a couple or two couples together. Sometimes it really is a coffee. And I tell my wife, man, some people are just one kind of coffee break away, you know, from really shifting some things. And what can be done personally in 45 minutes or an hour over coffee, some people never get for years in church life. And I see incredible fruit, I'm telling you, from building trust, right? And then being able to open up your heart, you know, every once in a while, just for an hour, 45 minutes. Or more, texting throughout the week, hey, encouraging you, hey, we pray for each other, prophesying over each other. But that really, that touch point is really what we're seeing the most fruit from, I'd say.
Pastor Dean, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your life with us. And
sure.
I feel like we've gotten a lot, and yet each part touching us at the point of need. So thank you so much.
Yeah, my great pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And dear one, as you've been listening, I hope that you've been encouraged by the life story of Dean Kaneshiro. You can find out more about him at theparenthoodblog.com. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. You know, if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. It's our hope, our prayer that you do it. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Dean Kaneshiro. Find out more at theparenthoodblog.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.